Hello and welcome to the ultimate, most comprehensive B2B outreach podcast. But first things first, let me introduce my colleagues, the stars of the show, and then I'll give you a short overview of what you can expect. So, without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce Dancho, BizBee's founder and CEO and established management consultant. Can you introduce yourself, Dancho?
Hello, everybody. Nice to meet you, everybody. Actually, virtually everybody. I won't get into that much details. I mean, there are some titles behind me, but indeed, I'm passionate about B2B lead generation and outreach. And we were preparing this podcast recording for a while. So yay, I was finally excited to get the ball moving.
So I've heard there's some news in your corner. You have a book published coming up.
Oops, I forgot to brag about it. But in less than 30 days from now, we have a B2B lead generation book coming up, which is specialized in B2B lead generation and prospecting for high ticket service providers. And the name is Sweet Leads. And yeah, we're excited actually to see it live. And I hope, really hope it will help a lot of companies to grow their businesses.
We're really looking forward to it. So we're not alone on this podcast. Here's also Natasha. She's BizBee's Outreach COO. So Natasha, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, Vera and Dancho, and hello, everyone. So I'm Natasha, the CEO of the B2B outreach agency at BizBee. I have to admit that this is my first time being on a podcast like this. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I hope that with my experience and my involvement in all of these projects at BizBee, I will have some contribution and give you some interesting insights.
Okay, so I think that our audience will get to know you better once we get this podcast up and running. But let me give our audience a short intro of what they can expect. We have 12 episodes planned where we will talk through the whole outreach process. So we'll touch on various subjects. We'll talk about the importance of prospecting, what actually are sweet leads, which services can benefit from prospecting, and maybe just why outreach hasn't worked for you so far. So then we'll discuss the amount of effort needed for running a successful outreach campaign, the type of results and ROI you can expect, whether it's better to outsource it or do it in-house. As a last segment, we'll discuss the proper planning, executing and optimizing of an outreach campaign, and we'll end with the marketing support needed for a successful outreach. So as you can see, that's quite an agenda. We've got quite a way to go. So let's dive right in. You introduced yourself, Dancho, but can you tell us a bit more now? How did you embark on your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I usually have a long version and a short version. The long one requires beer because I'm not doing it on a Monday morning without a beer. But in short, my whole business career is in the B2B life stage. So I started at 21, I started my first company, which was a B2B marketing agency. And yeah, I had to learn how to sell, how to pitch, how to prospect, how to find clients. And since then, I was working 3 to 4 years in my first agency, I've learned quite a lot on how marketing agencies and sales agency operated and how they can reach out to potential clients. And from there, I actually continue working for a software development company for another 3 or 4 years, probably, where while working there, I had the opportunity to actually see how they work on projects, the agile concepts. They had their own project, like a software development company, but they also had their own solution. So it was more like an enterprise SaaS for corporations. So as a product owner, according to the Scrum methodology, I was really talking to clients, understanding their needs, the MVP, what kind of feature needs to be developed. And I really got a better understanding of the IT world. So finally, five and something years ago, when I started BizBee Solution, which started as a management consulting company, as a consultant, I started reaching out again in the B2B world to potential clients. And as a B2B consulting, I've realized it's really different than software and marketing agencies. But over the years, we had 450 clients so far, I think our portfolio is. But over a lot of experience, over thousands of meetings, I really dig deeper into the B2B lead generation. As a management consulting, we started with market research, business plan, product sourcing, lead generation. But over the last 2 years, 2.5, we really dived deeper into the B2B lead generation. So last year, we even specialized, it's not rebranded because we still have the same name, but it's actually changed our focus in B2B. So now we specialize in B2B lead generation for high ticket service providers. And all that, like marketing agencies experience, software development experience, and consulting experience, is now all connected into the B2B company, where, yeah, we try to share that in the book, on this podcast, on these webinars that we're doing. And I can accumulate, that's why I said my entire experience is in the B2B world. I've never done any work in the B2C, so I'm really lost in that space. And in particularly into the high ticket world. So that's really the short version. For the longer one, I do really need the beer.
Yeah. Well, we have heard this story a lot of time, but I must say it never gets old. But Natasha's story is one we don't hear that often. So Natasha, it's a remarkable journey you've been on. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Well, I don't have such an impressive story as Danjo's. However, I started as an intern a few years ago at B2B. So after a while, after the internship program, I have been offered the job there as a business analyst. But back at the time, I was planned to go out of the country and do some work outside of Macedonia. So I dropped the chance then. And when I came back to the country, actually, I got an offer in a different company. So I started there. But something, I have to admit that something was missing. It missed the B2B spirit and it wasn't right for me. So soon after that, lucky me, actually, the project manager back then called me and offered me the job again. So this time I took the chance and I went back to B2B as a business analyst. Then as the services of B2B evolved, I evolved as well. So I was promoted to an outbound growth specialist. After a while, I became a project manager, and here I am today as a CEO of the B2B outreach agency. I have to admit that I'm very proud of this because I was involved in every step of the way together with B2B. So I knew that we had some connection together, even though I have to say this, that when I started at B2B, my friends and family, they didn't feel like this is the right place for me, but I kind of believe in B2B and I know that there will be some progress for me. So I'm the CEO now. And by the way, Vera, congratulations as well, as you've been promoted to the CEO too.
Yeah, I also wanted to say, Vera, well, when are you going to introduce yourself to the audience? Because if I heard well, 12 episodes is a lot. So they're going to hear your voice as well.
Yeah, well, let me introduce myself now. I am officially the host of this podcast with you as my guests. And I'm also the content agency CEO at B2B Solutions. So the content department is my responsibility. Thank you for sharing your story, Natasha, and for congratulations to you as well. It seems like a really nice business love story. As a matter of fact, like it was meant to be.
Destiny.
So let's get back to lead generation, Dante. You mentioned something about lead generation, but oftentimes what we do and lead generations are often confused. So can you tell a bit more specifically what it is that we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do magic. That's my starting pitch when I started talking with clients. The magic is that we are laser focused in what we do. So our prospecting is through LinkedIn and email. And just to give you a quick background on why. Usually when we work with clients, we also even try it. Like when you're a high ticket service providers, you have several ways on how you can generate leads. However, the more higher the prices, so the more complicated it gets. So if you have $5,000 or euros or 10K or 50K or 100K, you have fewer and fewer options. If you cannot really use Facebook ads because, I mean, come on, you cannot put a Facebook ad and say 50K, buy my products and people will be, ah, nice, just click on the ad and swipe their credit card. I mean, I wish it was that easy, but it's not. And the only two options that are available are the content creation, start creating content and on the mid to long term, get some clients. And the short term is actually the prospecting or the outreach, where you proactively reach out to potential clients, try to understand if there is need. So when it comes to the content, it's really mid to long term because, I mean, Vera, you're also into the content. You cannot just create a blog and hope that tomorrow 10 clients will line up just because of that blog. It takes time. It takes time to build credibility. It takes time to build authority. It takes time to set up the SEO to recognize you. While with the outreach, what we're doing actually is that within 2 to 3 weeks, we have the setting up period, and then we proactively reach out to potential clients. Now, the strategy, how we set it up to be LinkedIn and email was that, well, email is around forever, so it still works pretty good. And LinkedIn is actually the biggest B2B social network. And I mean, it has hundreds of millions of people there. And if you try to create your own database, it becomes obsolete. While on LinkedIn, people actually upgrade their, they get a new job, they actually brag about it on LinkedIn. So it is auto-updated database. And we consider the cold calling, but honestly, I'm not a fan of the cold calling. And I don't appreciate where people call me out of the blue. So if I don't believe in something, we cannot really have it. And in that case, we said, well, the written content, the written outreach is best because people can reply at their convenience, not on the spot, maybe at home, maybe in the morning, maybe in the afternoon, but we're actually giving them the option to respond. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is that the non-spammy way, and that's usually the harder part because the higher the service that you're offering, either as a consultant or as an agency or as a software company, that the less spammy and more relationship building should be. So when we do our outreach, we understand our clients that we need to position themselves as an authority, as a thought leader, and as a person that they can connect. Because when it comes to 50K service, people rarely just try to Google, I need an agency, but they're like, who in my network do I know that can actually do this for me? And we want us to be that guy. So when it comes to B2B lead generation, our focus is how to be non-intrusive, non-spammy, and reach out to cold prospects, start building that relationship. So if they have an immediate need, of course, try to help them. But if not, at least try to be in their network and nurture. So when the time is right, you to be the first guy that they think about it. That's the short version.
Can't wait to hear the long version then. So, Natasha, do you have something to add maybe here?
Well, I can add that usually when it comes to the B2B world and the platforms or the channels that you can use, usually Facebook and Instagram are type of platforms that people use after work or not related to work. So it's not the right way to try to reach them on those channels when it comes to the business. So that's why I think that LinkedIn is the best tool for the B2B outreach.
Makes perfect sense. So when it comes to spammy and not spammy LinkedIn messages, I think there is a familiar term that Dancho has coined recently, and that's digital fever. So can you walk us through it?
Oof. Digital fever. It was a long time ago. No, actually, well, the whole book writing process took me 2 years. So the whole concept is quite simple. We work with a lot of companies, 450 so far. I've noticed how people behave very differently when it's on the physical world compared to the online world. So to take an example, even before the COVID-19, there were a lot of B2B conferences, B2B physical events, B2B matchmaking, networking events. I mean, a lot of ways how you can physically identify new potential clients. And it's interesting when you go on these events, I mean, yeah, you have a stack of business cards, but it's not like you're just throwing them as money, like just send to everybody. But what people do is that they sit with someone, chit chat, what do you do? What do you do? Try to see if there's connection, exchange some business card, move to the next person. What do you do? What I do? If there is synergy, exchange business cards, and then follow up after the event. And a good event is if you actually talk, what, 10, 20, some guys that are talkative can talk to 50 people, but there are people that just talk with 3 to 5 people and that's it. and they understand the value of relationship building rather than just sending 1,000 cards, because you can do it, like just going to 1,000 people at the same time, but with zero quality, just spamming people in physical world. People understand that on the physical events, you actually need to build some rapport, get some chit chat, get to know the guy before you move it after the event. Now, that same person, actually, when it gets online, they start behave completely different. And by completely different, that's why I've coined the term the digital outreach fever. They're behaving like they have a fever. It's like, well, in physical life, you're talking to 5 to 10 people, while online, you're immediately spamming a million people over email. And you're hoping that with million emails with a success rate of 0.00 something, you'll get some good leads, but actually you're annoying or spamming 99.999 of the people. And it's interesting, it's not like there are two types of people, like some people are spammy, some are on the quality. It's the same person, the same guy that on the physical events actually does the due diligence and the relationship building. He just changed his mindset when he gets online, and he just gets the digital fever that we're talking about. And I've realized that people are using heavily the automation, and since they know that they can reach out to a broader mass, their messaging changes, their content changes, everything changes. And the digital fever is actually using the automation to spam a lot of people. Instead of using the automation just to support you, you're actually changing the messages that you would otherwise send. And the right way is actually the message that you're actually sending online, and then you're just using a tool to help you to send it faster or more convenient, not to change the message to be more generic and then just spread it to a million. And I was Googling it. There wasn't a term like that before. And that's how actually we came up with the digital outreach fever.
Maybe we'll see it in the dictionary someday.
That's a good point, actually. I don't know what is the process to add a term in a dictionary, but I would actually check that out.
Okay, but that's theory. And when it comes to practice, Natasha is our girl. So you have handled so many LinkedIn campaigns. Maybe you can tell us, is this really the type of behavior that people are doing on LinkedIn?
Yes, definitely. So let's put an example here. I will speak for myself first. This morning when I checked my personal email, I had over 50 emails sent to me during the weekend. So that speaks a lot, I think. And in my opinion, I think that when people start doing the outreach, they think that they're kind of invisible and they are just not speaking in their name, but they think that the automation speaks in their name. So that shouldn't be the case. At the end of the day, it's the same person who stays behind the automation and in whose name all those messages are sent. So Dancho is completely right. I agree with this. And also I read an article recently about this, and it said that people, when it comes to the online behavior, they usually treat it as a game. So they think they are like part of a game, and that's why probably they act that way, rather than when in person they are more considerate about their behavior, about the body language, the eye contact, and so on. So probably that's the reason why they are led to act that way. Or sometimes I think that it might be the fast results that they are looking for lead them towards this, but it's not the right thing, definitely.
Yeah, and if I can just add on top of exactly what Natasha is saying, that's because you asked me at the beginning, Vera, what Bisbee do. That is what we do. We actually try to prevent the digital outreach fever and actually not invent the hot water, but actually try to bring back the physical relationship just through online channels.
Okay, that makes sense. So on the one hand, we have people who are spammy and acting like they're not themselves. But I think that on the other, they're the representative from the companies who should also be authentic, not just in the messaging, but in their LinkedIn profiles as well. So is that some of the variables that we're controlling?
Well, when it comes to presenting yourself in the best possible way, I mean, everything has to be perfect. From deciding who is your ideal target audience, having a laser focused target, because Yeah, if your audience is the world, well, of course, your messaging will be generic. But if you think I'm targeting accountants from the UK within 50 to 200 employees, then I'm targeting the CEO in that company or the financial director, then your messaging is completely different. And when we use LinkedIn in addition as a way of outreach, we're saying, well, now that we know who are we talking to, why don't we adjust the profile to talk to the same people, not to be like the old school CV way of LinkedIn profile, but actually say, how does you and your team actually help these accountants or financial directors within the accounting company? And in that regards, I mean, when we do the outreach, we have the planning stage, where during the planning stage, we work with the clients on setting up the laser focus, optimizing the profile, creating the outreach messages, the conversation starters. And from there, once we move to the execution, then we start doing the reaching out with invitations, with follow-ups. And of course, we love our mud, so we do a lot of reporting and a lot of campaign optimization.
On top of this, we are always also trying to understand the style or the way that our client is communicating with the people and adjust our way of nurturing according to their style. So if the client doesn't want to talk about sales at all, I mean, our approach is not salesy at all anyway, but still, if they don't want to mention anything about that, not to be pushy at all, we are implementing that as well. So I think that's the key to our success.
But what about the other clients, the ones that want to do the salesy and pushy messages and want to see fast results?
We are trying to convince them to use our approach and see the magic.
Yeah, I also think that we've tried working with salesy messages. I mean, that's the evolution of the outreach. First, you've realized that you can do outreach. Then you start spamming people with a lot of offers, with buy now, I don't know you, but buy my products or buy my services. And then you've realized that you get very bad results and you're complaining, well, email outreach does not work, LinkedIn outreach does not work. And then you start realizing, well, I need to do the hard way, not the quick way. And especially if you're into the high ticket service providers, there isn't any other way. I mean, it's not like you just reach out to people. If put yourself on the other side, if a guy reaches out to you and like, hi, I have a service, 50K, without knowing them out of the blue, would anyone buy from them? And maybe this is why we try to convince prospects. But now the new trend, at least when I'm talking with prospects, with potential clients, they start realizing that, you know what, I actually more interested in just surrounding myself in the circle of these potential clients, rather than actually, hi, I'm selling this, would you like to buy?
Okay, so what would you guys say is the cure to digital fever?
Oof, work with BSB. Hey. No, I'm joking. I think it's a shift in the mindset. I mean, we should start considering the online just as an additional channel to the physical world, not like a completely two separate worlds. So whatever you wouldn't do in physical life, well, probably shouldn't do in the online. Yeah, there are tools if they can help you be more efficient or more effective. But at the end of the day, the cure is actually understanding that the person on the other side is actually a person. It's not a statistical number, as Natasha said, like from 500, 300, 200, 100, but there are actually people with their own problem. And if you start looking like that, then your outreach is very simple. The only thing you need to do with the outreach is finding people that have the exact same problem that you know how to solve. Because if that's what you're looking for and you know that you can solve it, then it's very easy. You don't need to spam people. You're just, hello, let's chit chat. Do you have this kind of problems? No, perfect. It was nice knowing you. And that's not burning the bridge, because maybe after 3 months, they will get the problem that you can solve. And then there will be, but there was this guy on LinkedIn I talked to, let me reach out to them again. So that's actually how I believe that digital spammy outreach fever can be cured.
So we should focus on networking, like in physical events, instead of pushing ourselves in front of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, if I can say this,
you have, like, in the online world, you have the perfect opportunity to reach out to the to your ideal client profile, because it's not like you have to wait for a physical event or to do cold calls and you are not sure if you will reach to those people. So you have all of these people in a database with their emails or on LinkedIn. So you have one shot and you should use it properly and don't lose any of them in that process.
Well, those were some interesting insights. Do you maybe have anything to add about the digital fever?
Well, I have a lot of more to add, but it's in the book. I don't remember everything now on the spot. But yeah, I was fascinated when you were like, aha, wait a minute. Now that I know this, I can start looking at the online world differently. And I mean, it helps a lot when you start having that shift in the mindset that wait, am I actually affected? Am I doing the same mistakes? Then you start talking with people, really understanding them. And I've realized that the prospects can feel that, whether you're spammy trying to just sell or you're genuinely interested in their business. Because when you show interest, you can ask even additional follow-up questions that could give you a much better perspective on what they're doing and what they try to achieve.
Natasha, do you maybe have something to add?
I completely agree with Dancho. I mean, that's why actually I like this job, because you have the opportunity to help to the companies for real. So it's all up to that. So if you have a solution that can solve their problems, then it's a win-win situation.
So at the end of the day, it's not about selling, it's about helping people.
Exactly.
We can wrap this episode up. First of all, I want to thank you guys for sharing your story. I believe a lot of our listeners will find it inspiring. Also, thank you for sharing the digital fever concept. And when we think about it, I think that this is really the case. It's a bit sad that it's happening even in the B2B prospecting world, but that's just the world we live in. And I'll also like to let our listeners on a little secret. We already told that you discovered the cure for digital fever when it comes to selling on LinkedIn and on Gmail, but we'll dive into more and more details in the episodes that are about to come. So I just want to say to our listeners, make sure that you tune in to our next episode, where we'll discuss all the prospecting basics, like why should we use prospecting, what's the difference between inbound and outbound, and why paid ads don't work for selling B2B high ticket services. We'll also discuss who can benefit the most from prospecting, which services are and aren't a good fit for outreach. If you can't wait for the next episode or you are simply eager to learn more about the subject, I would strongly recommend for you to read Dancho's book, Sweet Leads. You can find it on Amazon. And thank you all for this episode. Thanks to our guests, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Vera, as well.
Thank you, too.